Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
7:42, Tommy Tucker, WWL. On a lighter note, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll asking you, what with the big playoff game in the Dome and so forth that we all know about, who wins this weekend, New Orleans or Minnesota? And as it stands now, 100% are saying New Orleans, and I certainly hope that the Saints do win, and I don't want a close game. I'd rather be something like the LSU game where I am thoroughly bored in the second half because the Saints have put it away. Big news out of Baghdad about Iran, if you will, trying to keep all of the players in their places straight here. We assassinated a general and some militia leaders. I guess it was a drone strike. Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, he was the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps elite Quds force, and they're saying that it was the best way, the administration is, for the U.S. to counter Iranian aggression. That from CIA Station Chief Daniel Hoffman. Christopher Preble joins us right now, Vice President of Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, co-author of Fuel to the Fire, How Trump Made America's Broken Foreign Policy Even Worse, and How We Can Recover. Good morning, Christopher. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm guessing you're not a big fan of what happened in terms of the policy of taking out this Iranian general in Baghdad at the airport.
No, I'm not. I think that for a president who appeared to understand that the American people fed up with wars in the Middle East, he has not ended any of those wars. He's expanded a few of them. But let's be clear, this latest escalation is far worse than anything that he's done as president. It significantly increases the risk of the United States engaged in a full-scale conflict with Iran.
So would Iran want that full-scale conflict?
No, they don't want that, but I suspect they don't want that, but they also are backed into a corner. The decision by the Trump administration, by the president himself, to withdraw from the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the Iran nuclear deal back in 2018, that's what ultimately started this process along. The decision to walk away from diplomacy and to embark on an escalating series of different pressure on the Iranian government, and this is part of that escalatory cycle, right? It started out as punishing sanctions, expanding sanctions that are causing enormous suffering for the Iranian people, and now within the last several weeks, a series of attacks inside of Iraq against Iranian militias and by Iranians against U.S. Presence as well.
Now let me take a step back. In terms of the Iranian nuclear agreement, Fox News said that the Iranians, and I just read an article, that the Iranians did in fact violate it. Other sources say they didn't. Are the Iranians in compliance with that nuclear agreement from which the president pulled out or not?
Both President Trump's Secretary of State at the time, Secretary Tillerson, and Secretary Mattis, Secretary of Defense at the time, as well as senior intelligence officials, affirmed that Iran was in compliance with the agreement up to the point when the Trump administration withdrew. Iran remained in compliance with the agreement for close to a full year after the United States withdrew, even though Iran was no longer receiving the sanctions relief. That was the whole point of the agreement, or part of the point of the agreement. So I think they were complying, and I think that the Trump administration's decision to withdraw – signaled the president's decision to not proceed with diplomacy, but to attempt a pressure campaign against Iran. And now we've seen this the way that the Iranians have reacted. And I think, again, it's set up a cycle where Iranian reaction begets an American reaction.
To play it out, if there were to be a full-scale conflict between the Iran and the United States, what would that look like?
It would make the war in Iraq look like a walk in the park.
Well, and that did end pretty quickly, did it not? I mean, we're still there. No, we're still there, I understand.
It cost the United States over $1 trillion. When it's all said and done, the war in Iraq is likely to cost the United States $3 to $4 trillion to care for veterans and others harmed.
No,
killed thousands of American troops as well as American contractors and civilians working in Iraq. It killed hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, and it spread chaos throughout the region that is spreading even into Europe. I don't know how anyone can look at the war in Iraq and conclude by any standard that advanced American security interests or the interests of the people.
No, just to be clear, I wasn't implying that at all. I guess what I meant was, would it be a thing where it would appear to be over quickly and then we would be paying the price for that years and years after?
No, I don't believe so. And the reason why is because when the United States initiated conflict against Saddam Hussein in March of 2003, Iraq had been suffering under international sanctions flowing from the war in Kuwait. That is not the case in the case of Iran. Iran has been subject to unilateral U.S. sanctions, but has not been subject to international sanctions for most of this time. It is roughly three times the size of Iraq in terms of population and about 2.5 times the size of Iraq in terms of area. So if hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops, close to 200,000 at the peak, about 180,000 at the U.S. troop presence in Iraq at the peak of the war, if that was insufficient to secure a durable, decisive victory for the United States, and it wasn't, then I think it's inconceivable that anything less than that would deliver a victory for the United States and Iran.
My thoughts as far as the protest and the embassy, I don't know if you would call it an invasion or not, is that they knew exactly how far they were going to go before they started. This was all planned. And I just wonder, the other thing I thought of, Chris, is that there are others planned. And how would the United States, what would be, first off, do you agree with that context? And secondly, how would the United States, or how should, in your opinion, the United States deal with that?
I guess I'm a little unclear about who the they are.
The militia, the Iranian-backed militias.
No, it actually appears that the protesters were defying the orders or instructions that they were receiving from the leadership. We have to recognize the extreme anger and resentment that is very real inside of Iraq. This is not a creation of Iranian militias. This is not a creation of Iranian propagandists. There is a lingering anger at the U.S. presence in Iraq, and the Iranians have certainly exploited this anger, but they certainly haven't created it. And what's most shocking is that there was rising resistance within Iraq to Iranian influence inside Iraqi politics. But a lot of that anger, but as a result of the U.S. actions even before the Soleimani strike, as now being directed at the United States. And I think it's almost inevitable that this significantly increases the danger to Americans serving in Iraq, not just those in uniform, but also civilians and diplomats in Iraq. That is the likely next step here.
Not just from Iranians, but from Iraqis as well?
Correct. That is correct.
Take a break. Pick it up here. Christopher Preble is our guest, Vice President of Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, co-author of Fuel to the Fire, How Trump Made America's Broken Foreign Policy Even Worse, and How We Can Recover. 7:50, 10 till 8. Traffic now on WWL. 7:53, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking with Christopher Preble of the Cato Institute about the killing, assassination, however you want to say it, of the Iranian general in Baghdad, Iraq, as it relates to, I guess this is in retaliation for, would you call it an invasion of the embassy, Chris? How would you refer to it?
There was a protest surrounding the U.S. embassy in Baghdad that ultimately resulted in a number of protesters breaking into the embassy. They never got in close contact with American personnel there, because there were there was a U.S. security presence as well as ultimately an Iraqi security presence. But yeah, I think it's true to say, it's fair to say that there were some parallels, some very unfortunate and tragic parallels to the attack on the U.S. embassy in Tehran back in 1979.
So, but of course, nobody killed, nobody taken hostage as it relates
Correct.
To a proportionate response.
Correct.
Can a case be made that this is a proportionate response to what happened? And is it being billed as, sold as, is the administration saying this was in direct retaliation for what happened at the embassy?
No. Well, two things. I think that, in fact, that the decision by the protesters to disband and disperse peacefully without a loss of life around the embassy 2 days ago signaled a de-escalation on the part of the leaders of the protest movement, at least. And so in some respects, you could argue that following that de-escalation, the United States escalated the conflict by carrying out this attack. Apparently, and now I haven't heard this firsthand, I heard this earlier today on another call, that Secretary Pompeo claims that Soleimani was preparing an imminent attack, which seems absurd unless he was planning the attack at the Baghdad airport where he was killed. Again, we have so dumbed down the notion of imminent attack and imminent danger that what that actually means is the United States gets to take out whoever it wants, whenever it wants, and then claims that they were engaged in planning an imminent attack. We've seen that used even by the Bush 43 and the Obama administrations as well, where targeted killing under the pretext of halting an imminent attack, that it, when you actually parse the details, that's not accurate at all.
So,
now, I don't know if that's the case here, but that's certainly been the pattern where U.S. officials have claimed to be stopping an imminent attack when, in fact, subsequent facts reveal they weren't.
We only have a few minutes here. So what would you predict happens from here? What is likely to take place?
I think an escalation is likely. I think that is the most likely scenario that will flow from this, an escalation in the form of the multiple proxies that Iran has some measure of influence over throughout the region. Those proxies could carry out attacks against U.S. Interests as well as and U.S. Personnel. And then, if that is the likely response by the Iranians, then what is the Trump administration prepared to do in response to that? This is why, again, we are in the middle of an escalatory cycle, and I'm not convinced that the president or his senior advisors have thought through how they would ratchet through the steps that could ultimately lead to full-scale war between the United States and Iran.
When you say proxies, you're talking about areas outside of Iran and Iraq, are you not?
Correct.
Yeah. And like, for example, Chris?
Syria, other countries in the Gulf, things like that.
I got you. Anything you want to add before we let you go?
I think your listeners should understand just how serious this situation is. We have not been this close to a full-scale conflict with Iran in my memory. And I think that the president, by his actions, has set us on a very, very dangerous course.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate your time. Christopher Preble, Vice President of Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, co-author of Fuel of the Fire, How Trump Made America's Broken Foreign Policy Even Worse. I think a couple of things I'll say here from the text I'm getting. I think a lot of us try to make sense of all of this because we tend to think that there are good guys and there are bad guys. And then we talk about this is a war, and it is, but you don't really know who you're fighting. It's not like...
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.